first of all, I'm just so happy to be here. You know, I'm incredibly aware of how close this subgroup is. And we were talking outside, you know, to me, when I started this project, I was very, you know, I am so loose and improv and non-classical and very comfortable. And so I think a lot of times people are confused when they don't really know me. I am very thoughtful about things. I am very specific about things. I'm very direct about things. And probably the thing I was most specific about was the naming of the whole project, right? And the friends part was very important to me because I was completely convinced that I was gonna build Pokemon and Sesame Street and Disney. I'm even more convinced today than I was 18 months ago. And if you look at those cultures, you know, they're so big and there's so many micro cultures, right? They're geographical, they're character specific. And so this happening without me is like the thing that is most interesting for me. I know it's gonna happen. It's happening in many different ways. Unfortunately, the nature of NFT speculation the last, you know, 6 months to a year, there's a lot of focus on money. I'm empathetic to that. I understand. But I'm excited because I think that correction was needed. I think it settles the storm. And now I think it allows us to really build around the essence. And I don't know if there's a better representation of the essence of this project than what all of you are doing. And so I thank you for that very much. And that's the best part of like building a global project. I didn't have Cologne, Germany on the bingo board of the place that was gonna be the place that I felt that it was going on. So I'm very grateful for all of you and I'm so excited for this. Let's do it.
All right. We're gonna start with something country specific.
Okay.
You have speaking gigs all around the world. VaynerMedia is operating all around the world. You must have developed a tremendous like feeling for cultural nuances at this point. How do you perceive Germany as a whole and like in terms of business, people, culture?
Yeah, I've been here a lot to a lot of places, both from the wine journey of my life to the business side. You know, and you know this, it's tough to speak about a country because, you know, it's hard enough to speak about one person, let alone a family. Mm-hmm. Think about your family right now. Mm-hmm. If I was to judge your family of four, well, there's a big chance, like me and my sister are very different. Me and AJ are very different. You know, like me and Liz, like so, you know, it's crazy for me to think about answering that question because the Berlin music and tech scene compared to some of the, you know, Rieslings made in the wild, like it's, you know, it's like, you know, the countryside is like, it's like they're two different universes. Mm-hmm. But to give an answer instead of giving that answer, there's a couple things I've always found interesting and I touched on it a little bit today and it's why I wore gray today. The engineering DNA and process DNA of Germany has always fascinated me because I'm the complete opposite, right? And it's why so many people that I've met in my life that I have a kinship to actually come from either being living in or first generation American from German parents. So I am very gray, but the reason I'm accomplished as an entrepreneur is I'm actually very operational. As a matter of fact, like I've never, like what continues to confuse so many people around me is my deep need to be a COO, let alone a CEO. So I love operations. But I have all this gray and magic and sizzle. So I've always found that I get along tremendously well and admire quite a bit people that are similar to me but the opposite. They're very deeply operational, but they do have gray in them. And so, and I found like the depths of the operational part of Germany is like so in there, but there's so much more emotional intelligence. You know, I think a lot about the world and history and things of that nature. I also have, I've always had a very unique relationship with this country because obviously, you know, I was born in Belarus and Belarus was decimated in World War II. And you know, my father was born in 53. It was like 5 minutes. I think about that all the time, like 9/11 in America is such a significant event. That was 20 years ago, right? And I think about, like, you know, how profound the war was. And I always came from a place of compassion. Much like I talk about people that leave negative comments, I always felt, I always, as a kid, thought, what if I was born in America? What if I was born in Germany? What if I was born in Australia? And I also just always had a lot of compassion, really a lot, for Germany growing up as well, because I was growing up during the Cold War and there was still a lot of nuances in it. And so operationally, have always wondered, I actually am happy because I feel like at this point it's really behind it, but I always had a lot of compassion for people that were carrying guilt that had nothing to do with themselves. That was a very big thing for me in my youth when I thought about Germans. I'm also very funny in the wine world. In the wine world, like, I was very controversial, go figure. And I was an enormously big advocate for white wine when red wine seemed like it's the real wine. And that made me have a crazy kinship to Germany because I would always use German Rieslings as like my battle. And like, and so I have just always had a very warm relationship with it. The entrepreneurial scene in Berlin was very real when I was coming up in the game. I was the 15th person to have SoundCloud on their phone because the founder came to Les Web in Paris and put it on my phone. So I just have pretty warm feelings towards the country. And I've also, believe it's kind of like underrated in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Yeah, I really believe that. I mean it. Underrated, just like, I don't think, you know, I'm very into geopolitics and I'm very into human behavior. And I think history likes to repeat itself a lot. I actually think, you know, here's the answer I would give. I think this is really, I'm generalizing, of course, but I think Germany is talented. I really do. I don't know what else to really say. I think it's talented. So those are some of the answers.
If you want to go more concrete, like how would a Be Friends marketing campaign over here differ from one happening in the US?
I mean, the answer is I'm not sure because I haven't begun to break down country by country how I would think about it because what I don't know is I'm not educated enough on certain nuances around storytelling. You know, I talk a lot about underpriced attention and arbitrage. I'm incredibly knowledgeable about what goes on from a social media standpoint of like where TikTok is versus, you know, Pinterest is not gonna be a place I'm gonna market VFriends on in Germany per se, things like that. Whereas in other parts of the world I would. It's more about what has the attention. You know, I think about VFriends from, I call it from 3 to 103 in my mind. Right now it's more obvious with the way I'm developing the characters. It's clear to people around the youth culture that I'm trying to establish. It looks more Sesame Street than it looks, let's say, a Batman feature film. But I think about VFriends more like Marvel than I do Sesame Street. So what I think about VFriends is, well, this is what series 2 looks like. You know, obviously knowing I was gonna be here with you, I definitely wanna try to drop some alpha because that makes it fun. You know, so, you know, there is 0% chance that series 3 comes out next year and it could be a very long time. I'm incredibly concerned about inflation. I think so many people are ruining their projects right now because their answer to everything is just pump. It's so funny. Everybody in Web3 makes fun of the government for printing more money. And that every NFT project is printing more NFTs. Everything's about more NFTs. Like, it's so obvious to me. It's so obvious to me what's going on. Now, that being said, I think, I know everybody knows this, Series 2 VFriends volume, you know, supply is extraordinarily high by NFT standards. But I also think that we are a much bigger project. Like I laugh when people talk about pricing, like we have 55,000 units at that price, you know? And so like people are not very good at like in-depth conversations. They're very good at emotions, and they're very good at short-term greed, and they're very good at being on the sidelines and telling the footballer what they should be doing, but they're not good at being the footballer. And I'm good at being the footballer. So I'm thinking about VeeFriends truly in a very long term, you know, when I say 55 years, like I'm not doing that to be funny in the Discord. I'm doing that because that's the answer to the question. That's what I'm thinking about. And when you think that way, you think long term. There's no way that I think the market, nor our market, would it be healthy in any way to come out with Series 3. On the flip side, if I decide that we're ready in 7 years for Series 3, or 3 or 19, no question for me, the design elements looks more like a feature film Iron Man version of the Wombat, not a 3-year-old, because I have to build this IP for everybody. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's what the holders are thinking about. I don't think the holders are thinking about, you know, how I'm gonna create demand. What people are very confused about is, this is only gonna be about creating demand. There's unlimited supply. There's unlimited supply of Cool Cats and World of Women and board, like, there's a new project every day. There will always be a new project. The cat's out of the bag, now people understand. So for me, it's all about demand creation. To finally answer your question, when and if I wanted to have, for example, when we stand up a European operation for VeeFriends, whoever is the CMO, head of marketing for VeeFriends Germany, she or he and I will be having conversations at that time, contextual to where the storytelling, and it will be based on the micro and the macro. In the micro, it's gonna be where the attention is. And is that running commercials on whatever the streaming service that dominates Germany at the time is? Or is that running whatever the TikTok is? Or is that doing a patch on the best football team? Like, there's a million things to think about for that. In the macro, it goes on what's been happening here for the last 50, 60 years culturally. Like, how strong is Marvel here? How strong is Disney here? And so that will be macro work.
When you have this conversation with the CMO of Germany, for example, like, how do you make sure, because I can imagine, like, you can see comment sections like no one else, right? And when you're in the process of getting a sense for a particular market abroad, is it sometimes hard to determine if the topic is only popping in the bubble that speaks English, or is that already enough? Because that's usually the early adopters in every market, and those opinions eventually or ultimately spread anyway.
No, I think it's more macro, micro. I think there's certain, a lot of people really struggle with understanding what is a human truth. There's certain things that are human truths. Mm-hmm. From Germany to Zimbabwe to America, like there's certain things that are human, and then there's things that are cultural. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's not hard. It's actually very easy. People forget what I'm really doing. So for example, I'm doing marketing in Germany now for the brands that we're running in Europe for VaynerMedia, and I'm looking at all the data. I have the fastest growing, most significant, actually, like not ha-ha, not subjective. VaynerMedia is the most significant advertising agency that has been built in the advertising business in the last 30 years. I don't know what else to tell you. That's the truth. It's confusing because Gary Vee is such a shadow. People are almost unaware that I am the active daily CEO of a 2,000 person global marketing infrastructure with 400 people in Asia and 200 people in Mexico and 400 people in Europe. And like I don't think people really understand what's actually happening here. And so it's very easy. It's easy for me because it's what I do. Just like for some of you, it's easy what you do. Mm-hmm. Who's good at skiing here? Like really good, raise your hand. Skiing. Who feels like they're good at skiing? Raise your hand, don't be bashful. It's easy for you, you're good at it. You put in the practice. You were naturally talented and you put in the work. I am naturally talented at business and I've done it every second of my entire fucking life for the last 40 years. So I love all the suggestions in Discord of what I should do. And I listen. But the level of disrespect and tone deafness and delusion and audacity that is being slung around is laughable. And like my, you know, when I'm reading it, and it's a lot every day, and some of the sub channels are even more funny than others. And I read and I watch and I think about accountability. Everyone here is a big boy and girl. You can buy and sell anytime you want. You're in charge. As a matter of fact, if you're so good at operating, you should launch your own project. You know, and I love that challenge. Comma, my level of compassion, empathy, and respect for people's opinions is very high. People have real economics tied up into it. I take on that responsibility. I try to do the best I can. I just can't do what everybody wants because everybody wants the floor price to be higher every hour, which is in direct conflict for me to build what you want me to build. If I listen to everybody, I won't do what everybody wants me to do, which is why I know VFriends is gonna win, because I'm watching everybody else that's going and they're overreacting to their community. And I have compassion for them because it's very lonely to get shit on 24 hours a day.
Thank you.
Okay, I have some more questions about VFriends.
Great, I'm gonna do this as long as humanly possible.
Okay.
This is so, I love being with you guys and this is fun.
When is your flight?
I'm definitely not telling you guys.
It's going to be interesting to see how certain characters in the friends play out in different parts of the world.
Yes.
How do you decide on when a character gets developed and what utility to attach to?
I love it. So on the flip side of some of the FUD of the last 6 to 9 months, I think we'll all agree, and I know most of you are pretty deep and some may be busy or in the summer, but I think we all can agree that the Mint Mink utility was a big deal, right?
And a surprise.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that was incredibly gratifying for me for 100 reasons. One, you know, the surprise, like that part, you know, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I'm supposed to be working. Like, you know, I laugh because I read and it's as if, like, I mean, you know, when I see comments, I then click the name and see every comment they've ever posted. You do that for me to see the alpha. I do it to get a learning on first, you the individual, and two, how humans work. And so, you know, that's what I do for a living. And so it's the surprise makes me laugh because there's so many people that are so happy about it. And it's because they are surprised because their cynicism is that I'm laying on a beach drinking a pina colada 24 hours a day, right? You know, the lack of impatience and all that, like, you know, we are in it deep. I spend hours every day pondering, negotiating, thinking. This is happening every day behind the scenes. My job, I mean, this ridiculous expectation and entitlement that I should be communicating every thought in my life and telling you everything I'm up to. You know, people literally bought a single NFT and think they're on the board of directors. I am on 4 boards and don't even come close to expect my CEOs to tell me the things that people in the Discord that don't even own a VFriend are expecting from me. It's very silly. And so, you know, people act like people are like, we're holders of the company. You're not. You know, we own stock. Show me how much stock you have to own in Tesla to have a say. People are delirious. And so, a surprise it shouldn't be, because I'm building a business and I'm building a project.
Surprise, I mean, there was a surprise by communication standards, because you've changed a little bit your communication with Discord. And that's what I'm interested about. Like, when it all started, we all got very hyped. Things went in one direction, just took a while. We talked about price and everything. But now there was a lot of criticism that we just talked about, and you...
Of my own doing, right? I got...
And you, yeah, okay, I will change my communication.
I am still to this second ridiculously excited that Snowfro designed Snowfro has a substantial chance if he stays healthy. Mm-hmm. He can get hit by a tree just like I can. But if Snowfro, if Eric stays healthy, will absolutely be one of the 7 to 25 most significant artists of this generation. And that will bode well in 30, 40 years. What I misunderstood was how many people never hear my first rule. I really, it was a great moment for me because I think when I say never spend a dollar that you can't afford to lose, and that's rule number one, that people hear that. But people don't hear that.
And you always talked about the NFT winter to come, that everything would be impacted.
I literally, people are like, Gary Vee, I'm like, Gary Vee what? I literally made a video every fucking day that said 99% of these things are going to, nobody was doing that in the hype. I was, people, you know how many people in the NFT world were sending me the worst, nastiest things ever? I was the only one doing it. I knew exactly what was gonna happen. I always know what's gonna happen. It's my strength. I know because it's history repeating itself over and over. It's not that I'm a genius. It's actually very basic. It's that people are, I'm detached. That's why I win. I'm detached. Gary, you're so humble. Very easy when you don't think the things that people say that you're nice. Gary, how are you navigating with all the hate? Very easy when you don't believe them. Very easy to run a business when the money or the accolades aren't what you're living for. Detached?
Yeah, detachment.
So I, you know, you're right. It was a surprise. You're right. The communication has changed. And I will continue to do that because I don't want to put myself in a precarious spot because I love everybody that's supporting this. And it's better off to be pleasantly surprised than disappointed. And, you know, it's the only loser from that is me. You know, I what was happening before was I was in there kind of like you. I mean, if you look at how it's communicated, like I felt like I was like, we're in it, right? Like, I'm like, it's kind of like
you're cheering with your friends.
But
right?
But you know, I also talk to my parenting friends. I'm like, if you're gonna if you're gonna be friends with your kids, there's some detriments to that too. And I had to be accountable. I had to look myself in the mirror and be like, fuck, I'm getting too caught up of being part of the team. I'm a different person than everybody else. And so I need to be thoughtful. And so I'm trying to be thoughtful. I'm trying to find my way. I really want to be in there bad. The, you know, post-VCon, that was just me resting. This has been an insane 18 months. Between Series 1, Series 2, Book Games, and VaynerMedia's explosion, that was as intense of 18 months. I mean, doing all this is like 2, 3, 4 in the morning life, like it's hard. And so I just needed some rest. So I took a little time. But I want to live in the Discord if I can. I just have to be thoughtful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the next question then. At VCon, Andy told
us... I apologize, because I got... So, the development. Every single character has a full development track. There's tons of creative juice behind it. It's thought about and debated constantly. Distribution is constantly happening. I am constantly having conversations with Hulu and HarperCollins and Mattel and Reebok. Like, I'm building this. Every day it's happening. And you're gonna wake up on days and things are gonna be announced. Like fundraising, like Mint Mink, and like a ton more shit. We're 40 seconds into this project. Do you know how much shit has happened in the first 18 months? You know, we got a lot going on here. Not even 18 months. 15 months into this, not even. It's been 14 and a half months. Tell me what you've done in 14 and a half months.
That's amazing. Andy told us that you've been blocking so much time in your calendar for this venture. And the question, the next question we got is, will you continue to do so? And how does your daily business look like? Like, how much time do you actually spend for VFriends?
I probably spend 8, 9 hours a day on VFriends. I work 16, 17, 18 hours a day. You don't. So I understand when people are like, fuck, he's not giving enough energy to, I'm giving into, like I'm talking to people who run all the top 100 projects and they work a normal day, which is an 8-hour day with a 2-hour lunch. You're not gonna lose on my efforts. You may lose on something else, but you know, I would say anywhere between 6 and 14 hours a day.
Every day? Even weekends?
No, I take weekends off. But do I? I mean, I think I'm most active in the Discord on weekends. Because now I have time, because I'm in meetings. You know, but I also amortize that. Like, I'm very comfortable that if Vayner is pitching a $40 million fee business, and that takes up the whole day, I'm not like, oh, you know, I'm letting down V. You know what I mean? That's just not how I think. I'm also playing long. I will not do Vayner for the rest of my life. I will do VFriends for the rest of my life. So I also don't worry about it. I also don't worry about anything. I prefer everybody sell every NFT. Sell it all. Let it all be on the open market. Like I can't care. You don't want me to care. You know what I mean? I don't care if it goes to a penny. I really don't. Like, mainly because I want to make sure everyone's empowered to do what they, you need to decide for you what you need to do. I get excited when people DM me and say, sorry, Gary, believe in you the most actually, but I needed to buy this home. I'm like, sorry? like, let's have a party. You know, I'm very, I want people to do what's right for themselves. You know?
Because they identify with the project, and owning the NFT is like being very close to the whole thing.
But
and if they sell, they feel like they're...
Of course I understand.
Like,
of course. Why do you think I created such a big series too? Why do you think I'm doing sports cards? I don't want people to have a $25,000 entry to feel part of this journey. And I can say ad nausea, if you're part of the Discord, you are part of it, because I believe that. People don't believe me. So I'm like, okay, let's keep doing what we need to do. I want everybody in the world to be part of VFriends.
Awesome.
And I think they can be. I really believe that.
So when I jump into like the companies that you work with, that you speak with, development of VFriends.
Yep.
A lot of people have asked, like the recent announcement with Andreessen Horowitz. What was your...
I think there might be a massive global recession. I'm not doing a series 3, and I want to build the biggest business in the world.
So what was your involvement with them before?
I've admired Chris Dixon since Web2. We had almost no relationship physically. We had one in that we would both say the same shit and thus probably subconsciously agreed with each other, and we would often take non... But like, he was one of the few people in Web2 that I was like, that person's smart. Meaning he would also say things that weren't commonly accepted that I really believed in that ended up being historically correct. And I have a lot of admiration for that.
Do they have plans that you think VFriends should be part of, that it should be like partners with? Because they are involved in many other projects. Are there, like, do they want to take VFriends with them on a platform or something like that?
They have no say of that whatsoever. Hmm. You know, when I negotiated that deal, I made it incredibly clear in a million different ways, contractually and emotionally and candorously, that I would not take a penny if they had any say about anything about anything.
Oh, cool.
Sounds like you're working on your half.
I'm very much working on my half, and it helped me a lot in this scenario. You know, I've never raised capital. I have no interest in anybody having any say. You know, I mean, I don't want Andreessen Horowitz to have say. You can imagine how much I smile when everyone says, Gary should decentralize this, like Bored Ape and this and that, and like we should all have say. And I'm like, I mean, are you out of your mind? I want this for myself. Like, I don't understand how people don't understand like how the world works. Like, I've dreamed about buying an intellectual property to refurbish my whole life. Mm-hmm. Now I get to build one from scratch. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, like collective wisdom, like co-CEOs suck, communism sucks. Like, I don't know how everybody thinks like DAOs have disappointed everyone. Like, leadership matters. Like the world's, like it's hard to co-anything. Co-parenting is hard. Modern parenting is hard because when it was divide and conquer, right? It was easier. Like, most parents don't agree on everything. It's really hard when your kid is hyperactive and one parent wants to drug them and the other one thinks that's gonna hurt them forever. That's a challenging conversation. So is printing series 3 to appease the Discord. If one co-CEO is insecure and is struggling day in and day out with the FUD, she or he may want to print more.
No, but we have trading cards, we have Uno cards, so many people can, instead of series 3, they can have so much nice merch.
The reality though is the money was made so much, so fast on paper, it affected everybody. That's just the way it works. So now people are counting money that they lost, that they never really had or could have had if they made a decision and sold. It's very hard. It's hard human behavior. They're not, the majority of the conversation is not grounded in the health and well-being of building a story that's going to impact positivity in the world. But that's on my shoulders to continue to dictate and change.
Last night someone thought I was part of a cult, of a sect. Because they found out that I put money into this and I haven't seen a penny back.
Yep.
And they thought I was crazy.
Well, I've heard that a lot. I've also reminded a couple, one friend was struggling with it. And I was like, just show them that you can press one button in 1 second and make lots of money. That person would then not believe that you're as much in that. Like that argument's very easy if you meant it. Right, obviously if you bought in September of last year, you can't do what I just said. But for a lot of people that minted or bought early, like, just tell them the truth.
Sure. I would have had to show it because he wouldn't have believed it.
Well, I mean, a lot of people misunderstand what's happening in the world. I think it's crazy to buy an expensive car to have a logo on it to be part of a cult.
Sure.
I think Ferrari's a cult. I think Mercedes is a cult. I think Nike is a cult. Meaning, if you're cynical about people associating with each other around something, everything's a cult, right? Bayern Munich's a cult, right? Like Germany's a cult, right? Like Christianity's a cult, everything's a cult. Yes. The Jets are a huge cult. You know, like, honestly, the closest thing that I have to that kind of emotional blind, like when I watch people in politics and religion hate other people, it breaks my soul. But I understand it because I hate the Patriots. Like it's the one place in my life that it, had there not been American football, I would completely not even be able to make the connection to understand why a fellow person would hate somebody else. Could not do it. The thought of me not loving you based on your religion, race, ethnicity, sexual that is the most, I mean, I don't know, like one day when I go to heaven, I'm like, show me my, I am so extreme in the other direction of that, I can't even muster the energy to dislike someone on something like that. It doesn't, I can't even fathom it. But if they wear a Patriots jersey, I do. And so I really understand. I actually genuinely don't have control of my emotions in that environment. I swear, no, I'm really serious. And are you bringing out your Patriots jersey?
Excuse me?
So anyway, I think that
everyone needs that in some way, and you found a way to it.
Wait. Yep. And this is like now, this is why I understand. Like, with no silliness, I genuinely don't like him as much now. Genuinely. I love that photo.
To be fair, the two of them, Steve and his wife Mikey, they designed something very nice for you.
I can't wait.
And everyone signed it.
The shirt.
Can you get it here?
I saw it. Don't hold it back for now.
Okay.
Let's finish this because I can't wait to wear it. Thank you for that, Mikey. It's so beautiful. No, listen, I think, you know, so I'm not even sure what the question was, but the reality. I really, really understand that emotion. And I think about it a lot. I really do.
Yeah, I thought about it a lot last night because this person, I was trying to just express something that I really had passion for. And it was just like, I was held crazy by this person. Like really, they thought it was part of a massive cult and we just all lost our minds.
Yeah, I think cynicism is understandable.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say. Like, I think there have been many people that have done the wrong thing with their communication skills. And I have empathy for that person. I also find anybody who is quick to judge and say something's a cult lack curiosity, which I think is a problem, and are usually binary. Mm. I think there's so much good. I blindly follow lots of people that I believe in their principles and things of that nature because you align with their principles, but that doesn't affect me, nor, but I am so not interested in convincing anybody about anything. It is like, when I tell you the least interesting thing for me to do in life is to try to convince somebody something, and I do so many things that are innovative and off the beaten path, but I'm not interested in convincing anyone.
Can we talk about innovation a little bit?
Yeah.
So I liked your idea that people could use NFTs for crowdfunding ideas.
Yep.
Especially in the culture area, like funding
music, film.
Film,
yep.
and
I agree.
And well, what came to my mind is like if some great director came up or a screenwriter came up with a screenplay and they already had a following and they could see like, okay, series 2 will look like that, and they could follow their characters, and in a certain scene they could buy that token or that part with an NFT. That would create this would be such a nice thing for communities that already exist to grow even more, because I don't know if it's just a new thing, like you start.
It's gonna be both.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Sure.
Right, we talk a lot about that, and versus or.
Sure.
I think you're taking a great approach. I think you're right. Think about how many films for Hollywood, they finally figured out that it's almost like, you know, rock bands, even the reason they still tour stadiums 40 years later is they just have to play the same four songs. They literally have to play the same four songs that worked in 1970 and 1980, and they can tour forever. Hollywood figured that out. It limits new creativity because there's only so many films that are distributed. But, you know, it's one of the biggest things I talk to my team about with my content. I'm like, you know, we're not following something I believe in, which is we have 29 pieces of content that always work, that the world loves, that has, for some reason, that moment, it was the one. We should be doing a much better job like putting that in full rotation all over the world, in every language, in every format, in every, you know? And so I think Hollywood figured it out, which is why we have the same two, you know, sequels and number threes and fours and variations.
Yeah, if you watch a foreign movie, they have sometimes it's completely correct. Different
correct.
Storytelling.
What I'm more curious about is the luck that led to Forrest Gump being made is profound. If you know the story, it's really interesting. There's actually an episode, I think, on Netflix, right? Yeah. Like, somebody grabbing a ring. I mean, you know, like, and I just wonder, the 700 best movies of all time were written in screenplay, but not made. Hmm. That's what the blockchain's gonna do. For all the people that don't have the relationships, don't have access to money, you know, I'm very excited to your point of building. But I'm more excited for the young girl an hour from here in the countryside who wrote something beautiful that has no prayer of that being made, but her putting it on the blockchain and getting the right influencer to pick it. Think about all the artists that won in the last year in NFT land that nobody had ever heard of. Kids, this, that. That can happen for film, for music, in a much better way. It's already happened with SoundCloud and Spotify and TikTok and social media. Think about all the people that are famous today because of social media that never would have been. I was 34 years old when I made my first business video. If I wasn't born when the internet was around, I didn't want to be famous. I didn't want to be known. I didn't want attention. I wanted to build a business. And so I think I think it's going to be profound.
So when you look at this group of people, all of these engineering German people, they are really good at operation. Maybe they would love to get some ideas what they could work on, what they can improve on, start something with some NFT project, something on the blockchain. Where do you see some developments that can be used?
I mean, there's so much. We're in a place right now where the biggest reason most people don't buy NFTs is because of the friction. It's too much education. It's too complicated. You know, back to Andreessen Horowitz, very fun to say this now. I used to always say this, this now adds a little more. Until Mark Andreessen and his team made Netscape Navigator, nobody knew how to get on the internet.
They did that? Okay.
Mark Andreessen created, well, not Andreessen Horowitz, Mark Andreessen is the founder of Netscape Navigator, which was the first real browser that really brought humans to the internet. Mm-hmm. Before that, you had to code. Who the fuck wants to do that? A lot of people, but not 8 billion people. Get it? And so you need people to come along. Like, for example, what I do well, I'm a good communicator and can make complicated things understandable. I did it with wine, I did it with social, and I did it with NFTs. For a lot of you in this room, it was the analogies or the what ifs that I'm good at that led to it making sense. Do you know how many conversations I have where people are cynical about it and 15 minutes later they're like, oh, now I get it? Mm-hmm. But most people that understand new technology talk tech. They talk nerd. And people struggle with that. But when you say, well, what if, you know, when I say things like your plane ticket's gonna be an NFT and then it's an asset that you might be able to sell for $5, they're like, well, why would it need to be that? And then I just counter and say, well, why is it a QR code now? You didn't want it to be a QR code. You were fine with a paper. Right? Like, people don't want anything new. People don't want anything new. People don't want anything new. That once you understand that, everything changes. Sit on that one. That will help.
And like, what do you think, how can we educate people to get into the space, especially women? When I talk with my friends about it, I'm 43 years old and my friends are like 40 years old and they don't understand the whole Bitcoin, Ethereum, it starts like that. So I have to actually explain Ethereum, I have to explain that before I can explain the NFTs. And if I say, and like, it's so hard. I mean, there are YouTube videos, but I feel like there's not enough out there where I can say, just go on this website and it's all written down there.
Okay. It's not about convincing. It's about being patient. It's just not. Like, you know, like, I know a bunch of you went to the talk just now. I literally, it was just luck of the draw. Germany was ahead of it. The number one place I spoke about social media in 2007 was Germany. I had 3 separate talks in Germany that year. And people thought Twitter was the dumbest shit of all time. Literally, I would tell you that the adoption of understanding NFTs has been easier than Twitter. People were just so adamant about why anybody would care about other people's, as if that's not what people do every day around a coffee table. Like, you know, it's just, and so NFTs are a foregone conclusion because the technology is better than the internet and the analog world to do certain things. It's a ledger that is the best ledger in the world. And the ledgers do a lot of things. And I believe that the blockchain, the consumer blockchain, will do for transactions what the internet did for communication. And that's that. It's clear as day. Now, people speculating on an investment standpoint, I've made myself clear on that. It's 99%. But most people don't want to learn. They don't. Like, that's why, you know, notice how it works, right? Political points of view, like just personality styles. As people get older, most humans set in their ways and they want no change because they've lost the energy to move with the change. they become complacent, and then complacency turns into judgment on everybody younger than them. And that's okay. I mean, that's a consistent human, you know, track that I am adamantly not interested in. But I have no interest in over stressing. Meaning, you tell your friends, you talk about it. If they show interest, you try to help them even more, but we don't need to convince people about NFTs. It's already happened. They're gonna be forced into it. You have to understand, that's how it works. Almost everybody on earth has a social media account or had a social media account and actively has decided not to have a social media account. Almost everybody. Everything that these questions are being, like those to me in conferences about NFTs, were the same exact questions in 2006. Gary, how do we get more people on Twitter? Gary, how do we get more people to adopt Facebook? Gary, how do we get, we don't. The technology's too big, it will make them happen. The car industry was asking how we get more people to get cars. Because the sentiment by most people was, that's too expensive, my horse is good enough. For real, like not joking. The cell industry was like, how do we get more people to get cell phones? Humans said their pager was good enough. This is the oldest story of all time. Do you know that when canvas was invented, that the art world said that art on canvases is not real art, only art on buildings is real art?
Yeah.
So when people are like, NFTs are not real art, I'm like, cool. See you next year. And the next year, and the next year. And so I put very little energy into convincing.
Yeah, and you see what happened 1 year here, or you see what happened at VCon, what will be next year at VCon. I think the 6,000-7,000, that will be history.
Like yes,
next
I think
year
so.
Will be sold out, like everyone will be there.
I think that's right. Mm. That's actually the biggest reason we haven't announced yet. We're running a lot of math and making a lot of decisions around a full capacity, because we already know that it'll be 10,255 or 9,800, but it's gonna be there because there was a lot of interest from the outside now, and I'm gonna play the ticket thing differently, and like we're really thinking through.